Hello and welcome everyone to Birthing New Earth, where courageous individuals are stepping up to ask the hard questions, look at the tough decisions, and make the responsible choices necessary to leave a sustainable living legacy of thriving life on this planet for the next seven generations and beyond. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and I am here today. It is my delight to be here with Veronica Anderson. Welcome, Veronica.
Hi, Kathy, and hello, dear viewer. It's such an honor to be here. I feel so excited to be asking these tough questions and sharing in this space.
Sweet, 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 sweet. I'm going to share a little bit about what Veronica does. She has a very, very interesting job here on this planet, and I'm very excited to hear all about how she can help us birth a new way of being. Veronica is an energy healer, an ensoulment coach, and a visionary architect, birthing a new way of being in love with the earth. Her work combines trauma-sensitive mindfulness and permaculture into a practice called Deep Design, which is a framework anyone can use to participate in building a loving, just, and peaceful world. Veronica creates spaces for healing to facilitate a global paradigm shift into unity consciousness by bringing humans into connection with each other, the earth, and themselves. Veronica works in the field of sustainable development, using her intuitive abilities and technical skills to create truly resilient and regenerative communities. And her topic today, which I think all of us are really going to find intriguing, is Deep Design, Architecture for the New Earth. So Veronica, I'm just going to dive right in. I want to share with our listeners that there is a little lag time. Veronica is hailing from Costa Rica right now. So I'll ask the question and then we'll let Veronica just go as long as she wants. So please speak to us about the role architecture plays in creating or birthing the new earth.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome and beautiful introduction, Kathy. Architecture has been called the mother of all arts, and this is a way that we can picture the influence that our spaces and places have on us. It has also been said that we create our buildings and thereafter they create us.
Wow.
And so if we are aspiring to a humanity that is unified in consciousness, aware of our multidimensional realities, is regenerating our planet Earth, taking care of our mother, then our buildings, our cities, our spaces can all affect and reinforce this evolutionary path that we're all on right now. And so architecture can help us to give birth to this new paradigm of life by giving us spaces to gather where we have equality, to give us spaces where we can connect with one another and spaces to just be and to feel what it means to truly be human at this time. And this is how architecture can amplify the evolution towards unity consciousness, which is how I would characterize the birthing of the new earth. Absolutely. At this time.
So what kind of architecture will help humanity give birth to a new paradigm of life? It's like, what does all that mean? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we think of a modern city, a lot of times we think about tall buildings made of glass with hard edges and wide streets that are absolutely scorching hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter and just unbearable to walk in oftentimes. And the buildings that we design as well are unforgiving to our human forms. These soft animals of our being are largely ignored in the spaces that modern society has dictated for us. And so the kind of architecture that we can have can connect us to nature, it can connect us to each other, and it can connect us to ourselves. And so that can look like parks, which are free and available for people to use to have gatherings. It can look like walkable streets, which have trees and gardens and wide sidewalks and slow-moving traffic. It can look like streets that are safe to ride bicycles on. And these aren't just mobility issues. They're soul issues, because when I have to drive to go to the store because there's no safe way to walk there, even if it's just a 5-minute drive, because the streets aren't designed for me, they're designed for cars, then I lose the opportunity that for the entire history of humanity, apart from the last 100 to 50 to 20 years, has been based around these incidental connections where I'm walking along and I see someone I know and they tell me about something I didn't know. Maybe my neighbor is sick, or there's a gathering happening, or just saying hello. And these are connections that are so small, but so large in their meaning. And they remind us of our connection to one another. And I think that's what we're really missing, is connection in this world, which we all know is unsustainable. So that's the kind of architecture that can help us build a new earth.
Wow, it sure is. Wow. So can you talk about permaculture and the importance of it? Is it, you know, how can it shift the worldview? Why is permaculture important? And what is permaculture for people that might not know?
Yeah, permaculture is a word that comes from two words. Its roots are permanent and culture. And so right now we have this throwaway culture where we are creating huge amounts of waste and using up natural resources faster than we can replenish them. And so permaculture is a way to correct the modern imbalance that our Western worldview has, where we see ourselves humans as separate from nature. And we have our economy set up with all these externalities where we say nature is an outlier and we don't make our decisions based on our connection to nature. And we've seen how much we suffer from this paradigm. So permaculture can help us to correct that, because it's actually a system of agriculture and social connection and design, which is rooted in indigenous cultures and their worldview. So back in the 70s, Bill Mollison went to Australia and worked with the Aboriginal people to study how they grew food. And in doing so, he observed their connection to nature and how they worked very little. It was very easy for them to grow food in comparison to our modern world, in which we use tons of chemicals and pesticides. We have monocultures where only one crop is grown in vast areas of terrain, and the yields are much less. We have problems with disease, and we have to work with lots of machinery. And so Bill Mollison was saying to himself, how come these indigenous peoples have been able to have such abundance with such little work? And the way that they related to nature was what evolved into permaculture. And there is a lot, it's a wide discipline with many different principles, which show us how we are interrelated with nature, and we can leverage that connection to make our lives easier and better and more abundant and richer and healthier and all the ways. So in my practice, I always start with the local instead of coming to a site and saying, well, this is what I think needs to happen here. I listen to the land, and that looks like sitting there, feeling the wind, observing the plants and the bugs and the trees and the soil, and then talking to people that have been there for longer than I have as the architect. And this is usually left out of the process of modern design. There isn't much respect given to the people of the place. And so my practice, which has evolved from something called geodesign, which is the combination of geography and design, is one of the four corners is the people of the place. And that is rescuing this idea that people who have lived in a place are inherently related to a depth of wisdom that we cannot grasp just by showing up with our ideas. And so it has a lot to do with wisdom and our connection to the place.
So thank you for that. Oh, thank you for that, because I don't know about how it is where you live, but here in the Midwest, in the United States, when you hear the word permaculture, all I think of is gardens. And I just think of a different way to grow our food, which it is, but it sounds like it's so much more. And as I hear you speak, and I think about where our cities are now and where growing food is now, it feels to me like a big leap. And so as we think in terms of moving toward that, what are steps that, I mean, it's like, how do you shift that trajectory that quickly? What are your ideas or thoughts on that?
That's such a great inquiry, and that really is the question. I believe that it has to start with place, and so where we are is going to influence what's in our power. And then we have to look at the privilege that we have, which enables us to act. And so some of us are privileged to be in positions of power where we have influence in our communities. And if that's the case, we can be examples for the awareness of the importance of healthy cities and communities. And so we can embody this life that demonstrates our desire and our commitment to shifting towards sustainability. And that looks like what we eat, where we shop, how we travel, what our house is made of, and what kinds of things we put in it. It looks like how we speak to each other, because permaculture, like you said, it's not just about gardening. It's about how we relate to one another. For example, there's a value in diversity. A forest is full of thousands of different plants because they all have separate niches. And so if we can live and embody our connection to the earth, which is to say, looking at her wisdom as the most powerful, really, Earth has been around for 13 billion years, and she's been working on this whole life thing for quite a while, and she's perfected it. And so if we can look at the example of our Earth and learn from her ecosystems, then we can start to move towards sustainability. And New Earth is just inherently sustainable. We don't have to question our ability to sustain ourselves. And so it's about shedding our beliefs that are keeping us stuck in systems of capitalism, of white supremacy, of colonialism, which comes from that white supremacy idea, of all kinds of injustice that we can think of. You know, this consumerist mentality where we have to put the economy first is so destructive. And at this point, we've gotten to a place where we know it doesn't work.
Right.
So we have to make choices to believe, to show ourselves that there's another way. And in architecture, that can look like building spaces that are not for profit. I'm working on a project right now that is just a sacred space. It's just a place for community to come together and experience connection with each other, with themselves, and with nature. And so if we can start to prioritize those things in our cities, in our jobs, our businesses can invest in things that actually support awareness and consciousness, then we'll move closer to being an embodiment of Mother Earth instead of just parasites. That's not an elegant word, but let's be real. Right. So we're regenerating more than we're taking in this new Earth paradigm. And it's absolutely happening all around the world. There, Costa Rica is fully operating on renewable energy right now. That is already happening. This is a developing country. And so countries in the developed world have really no excuse other than greed and capitalist necessity to continue perpetuating these old structures. So there's a lot we can do at an individual level, a lot we can do at a community level, and there's a lot we can do at a society level. And it all depends on where you are and who you are, but nobody is powerless in this shift, which is what's so beautiful about it.
That's a great segue into my next question, and I think you've answered a lot of it, but people who aren't architects, who aren't, and maybe they don't feel like they're in a position of power even, what can they do to help birth this new way of being in love with the earth?
Yeah, I'm sure that your speakers have touched on the importance of actually loving the earth and going outside and touching into her. And the really important thing to remember there is that we're shifting towards sustainability in an integral and holistic way. So there's physical sustainability, and that looks like eating healthy foods that are not processed or not imported from across the globe. So eating locally and growing your own food, that's physical sustainability. And then there's the mental sustainability. What kinds of thoughts am I consuming? And this is where my mindfulness practice comes into play. And I ask myself, am I really stressed and anxious and worried all the time? If so, I am vibrating at a level that is not supporting connection and intimacy and sustainable relationships. And so that shifts into emotional sustainability. How am I feeling on a daily basis? Am I doing the work to choose how I feel? And this is why I talk about inner architectures as well in my practice of deep design, because we're not just building external architectures for sustainability. We have to take the responsibility as individuals to build internal structures for sustainability. A lot of us are not in the position where we can just choose to move somewhere that we can be in touch with nature every day. I've been there. I've been able to choose that, and now my life is full of nature all the time, and I am much healthier because of it. But we can build internal structures first that support our emotional well-being. And that looks like a contemplative practice, whether it's Zen meditation or dance, ecstatic dance, or, you know, whatever, prayer, whatever. It can be your thing. And so that gets into spiritual sustainability. And this is what we've largely forgotten. And this is where the indigenous worldview is so helpful, because the connection with our spirit is what is going to help us reach sustainability. Because without spirit, we don't recognize our connection to all that is. And then there's no incentive to build regenerative, renewable, sustainable societies because we're just living this life. And if I want to drive my car all over the world and purchase all of the plastic and throw it all into the ocean, I'm not connected to the people that come after me or the ones standing next to me. And so it doesn't matter what I do. And as we recover and resuscitate our spirit as a human family, we are doing the work. And so that's what people who aren't practicing architects can do to build the architecture for New Earth.
Wow, that's beautiful. So I have a wild card question. Have you felt the effects of the virus in Costa Rica? Like, have you felt?
Of course.
Okay. And so yes. What would you say to, I mean, how do you feel like, what has she given us? Or what have you learned from this? Or what would you hope that humanity would walk away with as we begin to try to figure out what Mom was trying to tell us?
Well, I think what's unique about Costa Rica is that the culture here is already more social than North American countries. So we're in Central America, and this is one of the safest countries in Latin America. It's the safest in Central America. And I believe that the reason this country has been the least impacted by the virus, one of the least in the world, is that the instant that we were aware that there was a problem, everybody paid attention to the leadership. And the leadership was well-informed, was dedicated to protecting the well-being of the people, and was acting in the interest of the public good. And this is the role of government. And so the quick acting, dedicated service of the public good is embedded into the Costa Rican culture. And so when they said, don't leave your house, people didn't leave their house. And so the virus didn't spread right away. Mm-hmm. And now folks are starting to long for their freedom, and there's, you know, this leaving the house, and so the rates are starting to go up again. But I think what at a global scale, this is showing us is we need to recognize our connection to one another. And the virus is demonstrating that in a physical way. It's not just spiritual anymore. Our connection is physical. Mm-hmm. And so because we are social distancing, which is actually a misnomer, we're physical distancing, but we're socially connecting now more than ever, I would say. I've experienced that. And so it's like we're putting everything under a microscope, and now children are stuck at home with their parents who happen to be abusive, and so the child abuse hotlines are going up, domestic abuse hotlines are blowing up. And so we're really, as a society, being forced to look at our structures and say, whoa, this is not good enough. We really have a lot of work to do to get to a place where our world works for everyone. And that's what sustainability is. None of us is free until all of us are free. And so if we can sort of zoom out from the actual virus itself and look at the impact, then we can start to hear Great Mother, we can hear Great Spirit, and start to understand this is an opportunity for radical change, mm-hmm. and to connect with our soul as humans. And I think it's also an opportunity for us to look at the way that fear still owns us, in a sense, that we're still manipulated by fear. Our fear of survival is so great, and we fear that we're not gonna be supported by nature and that our lives are gonna be a struggle. And so we operate in all of these angry and hateful and destructive ways. And so we can use this as an opportunity when we feel those strong emotions come up to choose something else, to practice being aware of that fear or hatred or anger and say, you know what, I actually choose connection and I choose love and whatever that looks like in that moment. So that's what this mindfulness practice of deep design is really about. It's just like always coming back to the present moment. And because we're all stuck at home right now, it's a really good opportunity to come home to the present moment.
Absolutely. Oh, this has been delightful. What do you love about practicing architecture? What's your favorite thing?
Well, it's hard to choose one favorite thing, but I can share with you what I love in general, and that is healing. I am so amazed by the power of architecture to transform and create shifts in consciousness and really to heal our collective. So why are we doing anything that's not sustainable? We already know. We understand the way forward, the way that we can live, which looks sustainable. Why would we do anything else? And I love that architecture can educate us about the simplicity and the way it just feels good to live in a sustainable way. And the fact that spaces are transformational, the way that sacred geometry can impact the design of a space so that our physical being starts to vibrate with a higher frequency that translates into the way that we think and act and relate to one another. And so we can, just by walking into a space, have our consciousness shift. Think about a Gothic cathedral versus an office building built in the 90s. Right. When you walk into either of those spaces, your body awareness starts to change. And so I love that architecture is a tool for us to help the world move into this new state of well-being and abundance and love in the unconditional sense. And it's an art and a science. And I just can't think of anything more beautiful for my life.
Wow, Veronica, this has just been life transforming for me because I've never thought of it that way. And I'm a healer. I've been doing this for 30 years and it's like, duh, Kath. Wow. Yes, it's like, and imagine if all of us were walking into spaces that had that higher vibrational tone, all you'd have to do is just go home. Wow. She's like, yeah, I've been telling you. So tell us about your free gift, because it looks yummy. It's a mini ebook, Sensing Space, The Link Between Yoga and Architecture. So talk to us about what that is, what they're going to find.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm really excited to share this little compilation of practices and insights that's come from my decade as a yogi and more than that as an architect. And this is a really ancient body of wisdom, the yogic eight-limbed path. And so what I've done is apply those principles to birthing the new earth and this new paradigm of architecture. And so it's a way of looking at design through a spiritual lens. And so this will be of interest to anybody who's a student of architecture, a practitioner of architecture, or a practitioner of yoga. And it'll help you to connect with your body as you move through the world. It'll explore different ways of sensing space and how our body is really creating the world around us, and then the world around us is creating our body. So it's this cyclical relationship to all that is in manifest form. And I really hope you'll enjoy it.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. So you are an energy healer and a coach. If someone wanted to work with you, would they just go to your website? Do you work with people privately?
Absolutely. You can.
Yeah.
Yes, I do one-on-one sessions with individuals who are healing from trauma primarily, and that is, the numbers show 90% of people on earth, so pretty much anybody is welcome to reach out to me. And I do have a strong foundation in Zen and mindfulness, so I like to share practices like that with my people. And then there is an element of embodied reparenting, which is the modality that I've developed for healing trauma that I love to share with people. And of course, we're working on the connection between the body, the mind, and the spirit, as always. And people are welcome to reach out to me at veronicasanadora.com or just find me on Instagram at Guardian of the Sacred.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We'll have both of those listed on your page. But thank you so much, Veronica. This has been a treat, a delight. I've just loved your information, and I encourage all of our listeners to reach out and find out more, because this is a new and intriguing way to raise your vibration. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I really hope that this time has facilitated a deeper connection with your soul, dear viewer, and the soul of humanity, and that as we move through these difficult times, we can all come into deeper relationship with the new earth that's being birthed at this time, and the ease and joy and peace that can bring us all. Thank you for being.